This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening, good day to you for Wednesday, November 28th, 2012. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter. Hey, Vicki.
Hey, Doug. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We just have about 3 weeks left. We were just talking about that. And you were mentioning that somebody was posting on, aren't we supposed to all die next month, or has that been canceled?
But the Pope has rewritten everything. That's the trouble here. So he got the calendar wrong. So end of time is still coming. Yeah, he's rewritten the Jesus Diaries, apparently, and he said the Roman calendar doesn't work anymore.
Okay, so we might have a reprieve for a little while then, huh?
Well, until I don't know, 2112 maybe? Who knows? Anyway, it's been canceled, apparently, so this is good.
Well, that's a good thing. I got to tell Ing to turn off her player on the webpage. Ing, turn off your player. She's getting an echo, and that's why I forgot to tell her that before the show. But we'll get to our show here in a little bit. We've got Dr. Ingrid Irwin with us tonight to talk about EVPs. She's returning from a previous show we did. Gosh, it's been over a year ago now. But I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. Let's tell everyone what the show is about. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as explore science and spirituality, which includes EVPs. In addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a metaphysics school offering bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a number of specializations available, including paranormal science, parapsychology, ufology, spiritual counseling, coaching, and it goes on. If you'd like more information about that, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. And, of course, we want to also do our profession of beliefs as we kick off this week's program. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these 9 principles of belief, please visit mchschurch.org. All right, so tonight we are going to be talking about EVP, compelling or conducting compelling EVP research. And we have Dr. Ingrid Irwin live from Australia. She's actually speaking to us from the future, where it's 2 o'clock in the
That's
afternoon.
That's right.
So
we were talking with Ingrid before the show that she's going to give us a heads up on December 21st. So
that's right.
We're going to phone her ahead of time because she'll be a day ahead of us, so we'll know what to do over here.
That's right.
Well, there won't be much can do.
Welcome to the program,
Ingrid.
And it's
really hot.
Yeah, hi. It is very hot.
Yeah, it's like 45 degrees. I'm saying,
yeah,
well, that's freezing. So,
and then she tells you that that's Celsius. So it's 100 and how much Fahrenheit?
I think it's
there?
About 112, isn't it, in your Fahrenheit?
Oh, phew.
You're probably closer than I would be.
Yeah.
We had a chance to go to the metric system way back in the 70s, which I wish we had, and then we'd all understood it over here.
Understood each other. Yes, we would.
45 degrees, I'm freezing. I'm freezing at 60. Anyway, but it's great to have you back on the program, Ingrid. And let me just tell folks, if you're not familiar with Dr. Ingrid Irwin, she, we go back a few years now, huh? She was on the board of directors for Paranexus. That's how I met her, is through Paranexus. And she's done some outstanding EVP research, and she's just very, very knowledgeable and has a very unique approach to EVP research. But I also have to give credit where credit's due, and I'll tell you right now that if it was not for Ingrid, we wouldn't even be talking right now. I credit Ingrid with, a lot of things, but one of the most important was just our association, our friendship. It opened me up to other things that were, available and positive, which directly led me to not only starting MCHS Church, which I threatened to do for years prior to that, but also IMHS, the Metaphysics Institute. And so it's I thank you, Ingrid. I mean, I credit you with all that. It wouldn't have happened if I had not met you. At least it wouldn't have happened for a while.
Thank you. Oh, you would come up with it eventually.
probably eventually, but, knowing me, I'm blonde, and Vicky's kind of blonde, so... I don't know. I'd have never met Vicky. Things just rolled. So I really credit Ingrid with all this. I mean, it's opened up a whole new vista for me, and it happened because I met Ingrid. So Ingrid and I have known each other for several years and had a good friendship, and she's such a positive energy. And are you no longer nervous now?
No, I'm okay.
Right.
We're on the air now. It's all good.
Yeah, everything kind of levels out. I always throw up before the show.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because of nerves, not really, though. But, if that makes you feel better, you can believe it. All right, so let's talk about EVPs. Tell us, for those who may not be familiar, I'm sure probably everybody who's listening is familiar, but... For those who may not be, tell us about what are EVPs?
Okay, well, EVP, short for electronic voice phenomena, basically it's the recording of unknown voices on a recording device that is not heard acoustically at the time of the recording. So basically if someone's sitting in a room with a recorder on, they'll record unknown voices of an unknown source that they can't account for. And probably this has been going on for, 100 years or so, from the very first start of recording devices.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
Well, even Edison's trying to do it.
Yeah. So we're going back probably even more than 100 years, really. So the moment we started to invent technology that started to record... We started to get these sorts of voices, and it's basically just kept growing. And now with the digital field and with IC recorders, et cetera, it's a huge field out there in the paranormal side.
And she, when she says IC, she's talking about integrated circuit. You mean digital?
Sorry.
And that's okay. I mean, I'm not sure everybody knows that these days. It used to be IC everything. But...
Yeah, it's going back from years ago. It's still habit to say that.
Yeah, so it's... So, and just wanted to mention too, if our listeners have any questions, and you want to, you can type them in the chat room or you can call us up. Of course, got Dr. John Hightower screening calls. The numbers are on your screen, so if you have any questions about tonight's topic, you can certainly call in and talk to us. All right, so EVPs, are they real or is it just a bunch of wishful thinking?
Yeah. Well, it depends who you speak to, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
Well, look, certainly in my own research, I sort of basically branched off mainstream sort of research in the paranormal field and went on to my own sort of research. There definitely is genuine EVPs, but there definitely is manufactured EVPs also in the field. So, yeah, I would say it is a genuine phenomena, but I wouldn't put a... What would the word? I wouldn't say what the source of these voices are because that's something that we're really still not sure of. I know a lot of people in the field say it's spirits and ghosts, etc., but I tend not to put a source to the voice.
And there's an objective researcher for you. And that's one of the things I appreciate about Ingrid. I mean, you know, a spirit could be literally slapping her in the face and she'd still have to have...
I need proof.
That's right. Want to have proof. And that's good.
Well,
you know, that's a good
thing. Yeah, it is. And the thing is, what's probably stirred that sort of in my research was that when I first got into it and I did record one or two EVPs, everyone was saying, yes, you know, it's a non-physical being. But when I started listening to a lot of EVPs on the internet and other people, I started to look at it and say, but how do you know what you've got? How do you know this is an EVP? How do you know it's not noise that's been distorted? How do you know it's not environmental noise? How do you know it's not human voice? And what was interesting, no one could really answer the question. So that's how it sort of led me to sort of look into more the structure of voice patterns, the phonetic side of it, speech articulation, and sort of say, well, it makes sense to me that if it's a non-physical being, if that source of these voices is non-physical, it cannot have physical attributes. Because then if I go down that path, I'm being selective in my thinking, not logical. So that's how I sort of started to branch off and started to look at making findings and observations of these voices and really probably how it's led to the last couple of years of writing the course.
Interesting. And that's kind of, yeah, we're going to be talking about the
yes,
new certified EVP technician course that's pretty close to being completed here and will be available at metaphysicsinstitute.org, I'm imagining, in just the next few short weeks.
Definitely.
It's not too far away. She's got it almost done here. And it's good because I've been editing and it's really good. It's got some great information, but we'll get into that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Chuck Underhill says, hurry up. Yeah. It's not
going
that far out.
We can.
It's coming along, really. It's almost there. So, Vicki, you have a question for Ingrid.
You know, I sure do. Doing readings for these past 40 years, I have never been able to successfully tape a reading. There's always distortion. I always tell people, you know, go ahead, tape away, but I won't guarantee readings for that reason because they don't work. Now, it has come back to me where somebody's brought recordings and you can hear a voice in the background that's not my voice, like somebody with an accent or a male voice that wasn't present, but it's on their tape. I've had people check tapes before, and their machines, I tell them, bring your own machines, because I don't do it. They will check it outside, bring it in, the reading is distorted, they can't get the machine to work, it goes things, they take it outside, it works. Is that in keeping with what your study does?
It is interesting because a lot of the time we find when we purposely, and because keep in mind, I don't do investigations or any of that sort of thing. I do controlled recording. So when we've found, the more we try or the more we want to get the EVPs, the less we get. So it seems to be, and that has been prevalent all the way through it. It's almost like the best voice captures have always happened when we've been completely off guard. Maybe we've had the recorder going and maybe we've left it a bit longer and not even thought about it, and that's when there's been a voice capture. And they're very rare. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, I know there's a lot of people that say they can turn their recorder on and get an EVP every time they record. In my studies, I would say I would only get one every 30 or 40 trials, which that would be probably anything from 40 to 80 hours of recording. So they're very rare. They also seem to have, and we've sort of basically cut it into two types. We have an observant, which what I call observant, it's non-interactive, and we have more a reactive type of voice. The observant ones tend to be more, they don't seem to want to disturb the environment. You get very low, when you were saying you get voices that are very whispered, would you say they're whispered in the background if you've heard them? They're more the types of voices that, that we hear that they seem to not want to interact. There just seems to be an observation quality about them. So
non-interactive.
Non-interactive. And then we also get speech patterns that we notice are very reactive to the environment. They're very short. They're the ones you hear that are very short, very direct, and they seem very self-involved. So there seems to be these two categories. But when it comes down to what it seems to be, when people are really trying to record for them, that they just take nothing.
Well, a lot of people have researchers have gotten EVPs when right when they turn things off or on, they're getting set up, and they're not really
trying to be off guard.
Exactly. So that's good. And of course, when she says that they're rare, she's really talking about the ones that, in her estimation, are, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but are genuine, and you can't easily explain them away with human speech. So a lot of folks think they get a lot of EVPs. And I would say, of course, you know, the EVPs that I have gotten have come from investigations, and I've gotten a couple, three or more compelling ones, really compelling ones. One that we got several years ago, we were doing an investigation not far from here, and there was three of us investigators on that one, and then the client lady, nice lady, and we had been there for, I don't know, an hour or so, and we decided to take a break, so everybody went outside, including the client. We all went outside, and I left a recorder going on in the house, and there was nobody in there, and we were all outside, and there's a definite EVP on that basically, that whispered, it's that lower tone, it just says help. It's a male voice, help, you know, help.
Okay.
And I don't know how else to explain that. There was nobody there that could have even possibly said it, you know. But then we get into the whole, I mean, we're opening up the whole discussion of, you know, is this PK stuff, you know, psychokinesis, you know, and, you know, do some EVPs come from that? What do you think?
Good question. And, you know, it's going back to also that theory that a lot of, where that the person within the recording environment is somehow imprinting these voices onto the recorder. And that was what led me to going off and doing unattended recording trials. Because I thought to myself, well, okay, if that is a theory, then if I'm not present, if I set a recorder up that turns on and off at a set time every day, religiously, will I record a voice with no physical being there? And yielded me nothing for a very long time, until the one day that my dog actually walked into the recording room, and this recording room was completely separate, so it's a locked away various on a different part of the property. He actually snuck his way in there, because you can hear his little claws going across the tiles, and popped himself down, and within 2 seconds there's a female voice. So it sort of, I didn't expect that, but it actually made me sort of look at it and say, well, there seems to have to be some form of consciousness present for these voices to actually imprint. Can my dog imprint a woman's voice onto the recorder? If he can, I'd make a lot of money, but it would be amazing. But I, you know, it was the fact that it was a living consciousness in the room that we got the first EVP on unattended recording trials.
Well, before you go on to the next, just an interesting point that we've talked about, I know, in the past, but it's been something that's come up for me in thought quite a lot, is you know, there's always, you know, I guess it's part of a whole unattended recording. We've talked about, I know we've talked about this probably on a previous show. Does there have to be a human there to somehow, you know, get the ball rolling, even if they're just observers? I mean, they're usually observing something about human activity, right? Or in this case, your dog comes into the room. So you know,
which is another form of consciousness,
yes,
a living
absolutely.
Being. That's right. Mm-hmm. And it opened a whole array of questions, because it wasn't even something I had even thought about. Could this be connected with any form of consciousness?
Well, that's an. I mean, because even with that example that I gave a moment ago, where mm-hmm. got the word help, we were outside. We'd just gone outside, and a couple of minutes later, there's this recording. Is it an interactive recording? Or is it just something we picked up? And mm. I can't say for sure, you know. So that's why I classify it as a 1.5, class 1.5 on the KM scale, because I don't know whether they're reacting to us or interacting with us, or said that as a result of us, or just some voice we happen to pick up. You know?
Yeah, some sort of porthole opened at that moment, and you caught a fraction of some conversation from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard part with the field is that there's very few people doing, and I have to even say that are probably interested in forming groups and doing these sorts of trials, because they're not fun or entertaining trials. They're very monotonous, very boring. you listen to a lot of nothingness for a long time. But the thing is, when you do get this, if we can get more people doing that sort of trialing and recording, we'd actually start to answer questions, or at least we start to further our research questions. But at the moment, we don't have enough people really taking a serious sort of tone to that sort of recording trial. So until we do, because then we can get repeatable evidence. You know, if someone else had the same sorts of experiences and recordings as I did, we can say, well, okay, now we can go into further questions. But, you know, we just don't have that in the field at the moment. I guess it's TV and everything keeps it all very fluffy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. But it's an interesting concept that, you know, there's this interaction. I mean, it requires some kind of consciousness, or otherwise maybe they just don't talk unless there's something to talk about. I don't know.
That's right. Maybe we're not that interesting to talk about.
Well, maybe we are. I think we're interesting. We've talked about
you never
that
know.
Before.
We
I'm
are,
the most
but...
interesting person I know.
But interesting, too, when we talked about that, I also went through the sleep trials. So what if our consciousness really is in another form, in a sense, when we're asleep?
Mm-hmm.
Would I still be able to pick up voices within the room when we're asleep? And we've yielded nothing. So
good points.
I know sleeping would be very boring to see us sleeping, but a lot from, you know, a lot of snoring and stuff that you listen to, there is nothing. And I've been running those on and off probably for, be nearly 3 years.
Well, there's some questions in the chat room, so let's get a couple of these knocked out. Kathy wants to know, what determines a non-physical voice? We're going to kind of talk a little bit more about that when we get into more about the course in a little while. So we'll hold off on that one. You may just type it back in, Kathy, a little bit later, and we'll make sure we cover it. Let's see here. Rihanna wants to know, what do you think about sounds rather than voices for EVP? We recorded a gunshot in an investigation that no one heard until it was on the recording.
Okay, that would probably, we're probably thinking of the precursor sounds that are quite prevalent in EVP. They can sound almost like a gunshot. They sometimes can sound like high-pitched cracks. Sonic booms, we've recorded what almost sounds like touching of the recorder or a finger inside touching the recorder. So they range from very low key sounds to, like Rhiannon saying there, with very a gunshot, very high. And they tend to be what we call precursor sounds, because they're not sounds we hear acoustically at the time, but we do notice that often pre or post one of those sounds, there is a voice. Not all the time, but often when we hear one of those, listen more intently, because generally there is something there. Why they occur, it's a really good question. No one has really many, there's lots of theories, I guess, but no one has any idea why. But they seem to be, what we call them is a precursor. There seems to be a precursor sound that happens prior to a voice. So there's something happening between, I would say, one reality to another.
Interesting.
Other than that. Yeah, we've recorded all sorts of weird sounds like that.
And then Chuck has a question, a couple, but here's the first one. Did you ever continue with the unattended sleep study you posted on Paranexus in July of 2010?
Yes, we've done one or two after that, and because, yes, what was it, 2012, wow. So it has been nearly 3 years. I've been doing them, and again, I've yielded nothing. So there was nothing really to ever talk about, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah, and I'm best about thinking after 3 years, I probably should give up the ghost on that one.
No pun intended. Or maybe
no pun intended. But I mean, I'm obviously not very exciting when I sleep. Sorry. So. So yeah, we really, it's not leading. I think 3 years, you know, when you count that down, I think it was nearly about 700 or 800 trials I've done, and they're all in about an hour to an hour and a half each.
And just nothing, but you've got the stuff that happened with your dog.
Yes, well, that came in the unattended recording trials. So that one, yeah, with the sleep ones, yeah, we've got to put that in the box for a while, I think. Unless someone, you know, comes up with recording trials and starts to get them, then that we're worth re-looking at it. But, yeah, the unattended, definitely, there has been a few occurrences with that.
So tell us about the continuing with your dog.
Well, that one was the first instance where he'd actually walked into the room. You hear him plonk himself down, and there was a voice after that, which was the first one after, I think that was about 80 or 90 trials in, because no one had ever been into the room at that time when the recorder went on. About 2 weeks, the recorder's on permanently every day. It's in a set spot. It's never touched because it has an automatic timer. So this comes on and off on its own. So I even get to the stage where I don't want to even physically touch the recorder while it's doing these trials. Mm-hmm. It's in a room that's never basically used or opened. I go in probably once a week, take all the recordings off so I can start listening, and then we reset it up and put it back into the room. 2 weeks later, approximately, our dog unfortunately had to be put to sleep on the Sunday morning, and we'd been suffering renal failure with them, kidneys, and I didn't even really think about the recording. It wasn't on the top of my mind. At 10:20, when the vet put him down, and this was about a week later, obviously, he was rather distressed. Love my dog.
A week from the first...
From the day that he was actually put down, we actually then took the recordings off and I thought, well, I better sit down and continue, you know, life goes on. And at 10:25, there's a voice on the recorder.
What does it say, do you know?
It just said, let go.
Wow.
A male voice.
Wow.
Now, we were both, there's only myself and my partner, with the dog at the vet, which is about 50 kilometres away. So no one was at the property. The house was locked up. And I'd even forgotten all about the recorder. And then probably a week after that, on a Tuesday when we again went out for the day, my partner and I went out to do the usual daily shopping and all that sort of jargon. The recorder's left on. And on that day, there was about four different voices recorded, male and female, and there seemed to be a gist that they were talking about him, as in, there he is, he likes being here. And it was, as the male voice finishes, the female voice continues the sentence, which is a really rare EVP. It's almost like they're in sync. The personalities of whatever they are in sync, and they continue on the sentence right through, and then there's nothing. And since then, I've never recorded again on unattended recordings.
Hmm.
And that's 2010, I think. Early 2010.
So, you know, obviously you take a very, very strict research approach to EVP. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Because I don't want to fool myself. I don't see the point.
Mm-hmm. It's unholy strict.
Yes. So,
okay, so, and what... Let's get into our, you know, put our speculation hat on here.
Yep.
What do you attribute these to? What do you think? I mean, what are your
ideas? Well, the only thing that I can put to it is that at the time this was happening, I mean, the first one was very interesting because the dog was there. But the second two times after that had a lot of emotional content to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we weren't here, there was a hell of a lot of emotional content. So whether that has something to do with it, where our emotions are very high, obviously, there was a lot of stress, etc. There seemed to be voices on the recorder at those times. Though admittedly, the one 2 weeks later, we were, you know, still upset, but, you know, life had continued on. But it was interesting that they had, the voices on there had seemed to dictate that there he is. He likes being here. He has to go. And not that the dog's name was used, but I'm thinking of something, mm-hmm. you know, putting two and two together, it seemed to fall into line that whether he was still wandering around here afterhand and hadn't moved on. And it was one of the rarest captures. And acoustically, when you look at spectrogram, when we looked at all the spectrogram, the spectral views of it, there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there, but there's voices there. And that's an eerie feeling when there's something coming out of nothing.
So there's obviously some chatter from entities unknown.
Sources unknown, yes.
Dimensions unknown, sources, see. I told you she was on hold strict.
But seem to be very much observational into our reality. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They still knew what was going on in this reality. And even though we were 50 kilometers away at the vets, they still seemed to get a voice captured onto the recorder. And I find that quite perplexing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's, you know, whether that consciousness is expands beyond what our small limited minds can sort of, I guess, handle.
So up till a couple of years ago, what was your take on life after death?
Look, I've always had a real interest in it. You know, you don't go into this unless you have a really strong interest in it. I'd had a few of my own sort of life things that happened that, you know, you start to wonder, wow, you know, do things come back? What happens? You know, lucid dreaming, that sort of thing. But, you know, I'd always believed in it, but not until I really started to record that it opened the parameters to myself in a sense that we've recorded not only what I think could be spirits or ghosts or whatever, but I think we're recording a much wider variety of realities in a sense, because there's so many different types of voice observations that we've made. So, yeah, I mean, I've always been there and thought that there's something there, but I would definitely say now there is definitely more to it.
Why would you say it now?
Probably because of what I've seen in the sense of recording voices and really looking at them in a physical science sort of way, looking at the spectral views, looking at the speech articulation, looking at the way the speech production is, and et cetera, where it's just not human speech. And a lot of times it's got these idiosyncrasies within it that is just not normal. You might see something there that seems to be a human speech, like there might be a plosive or a stop, the word stop where the P just stops very abruptly, but then all of a sudden you'll see in the next word a completely different spectral view that shouldn't be there. So I guess it's more the physical side of it, the sciences that have sort of made me look at it and say, well, wow, you know, there is deviations. These are not all physical voices.
Let's talk about that a little bit, since you kind of moved that way. This is the thing that the certified EVP technician course will cover, is really linguistics, right? I mean, speech articulation.
Yep. Yeah, we cover, sound and noise, hearing perception and speech articulation, because they're the main areas of the physical world that we sort of have to know about. You know, we need to, and even if you don't have to be an expert, just being aware of those factors will help someone with what they're looking at. So, and it's nice to know too, if you know a little bit in that area, you can pick things out and not get fooled by manufactured EVPs, because there's a lot of people out there, just like they do Photoshop on photos, that, you know, manufacture things. So, yeah, so we cover the physical sciences as much as we cover the findings that we've got for EVPs.
So one of the things that we've talked about this on previous shows too is the speech articulation in an EVP. And for example, so your basis here is, your assumption is that if these are spirit entities, they're not flesh and blood breathing. So they're not forming speech in the same way a flesh and blood human being does, correct?
That's right.
This is one of the assumptions. And so when you're talking about EVPs, you're taking into account the breath that are used to form words, and you're seeing that in the spectrographs, right?
Yeah, and through your hearing it and seeing it, I mean, it's the same as, if we're always suggesting that these are non-physical voices. So if they're non-physical, then we have to sort of look at it and say, well, they would not possess a physical body or any sort of physical speech apparatus. Therefore, we shouldn't see the characteristics of physical speech.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is sort of where my research sort of branched off and went into a different plane, where I look at an EVP and sort of I'm looking for things that are physical, human. Like I'm listening for breath. I'm listening for clicks of the teeth. I'm listening for very, very subtle things, and when you really listen, you can really hear them once you start to get into it all. And then once if I get a capture and I can't hear anything that would lead me to say this is a physical voice, then my next step is to say, well, okay, what are the idiosyncrasies, the irregularities of this voice, and then start picking those points out, which we cover in one of the chapters on a sort of a 10-step plan on how to break down the recording, the voice on the recording, so you can sort of get an idea of what you've got.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, that's the first time I ever heard of this was several years ago when you were talking about it and when you brought mm-hmm. it up, this whole speech articulation thing and the air, you know, that we use to form words. And I'm telling you, folks, you know, if you're into EVP research or you do any of it, any kind of analysis, you need to take this course because it's excellent on educating you on how words are formed, phonemes, is that the word? And
yes. Yep.
And how these different parts of words are formed with the mouth, the bridge of the mouth, the tongue, mm-hmm. the
yep.
Vocal folds or vocal cords. It's great stuff. I mean, Aang's done a great job on it.
I have a question in that might
yeah.
be relevant in here. When you're hearing these kinds of sounds that mm-hmm. are obviously not English, could there be a consideration that this is also maybe a breath of a different language?
I've recorded captures that are what so far has been told is to be Spanish. And I have no idea Spanish. So I had to get that one sent out and sort of say to people, you know, people that are in the languages, and someone come back to me and said, yeah, it's Spanish. So it's not always, even though I don't speak any other language, we don't always record that the language that we speak. A lot of people, I know someone in Sweden who's recorded English over there. So
interesting. Yeah,
but the articulation side, the articulation side still sort of holds firm because we'd still hear same characteristics of the voice no matter what language it'd be.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially some foreign languages even have a lot more breath sounds, a lot more articulation sounds, so they're even easier to pick.
Interesting.
But
Well, let's take some more questions from the chat room. John Hightower, if you've ever been able to record around someone who sleepwalks.
No. I need to buy a person that sleepwalks so I can do that. Because
<That's hard.
laughs> Definitely okay. not.
John
no one here's
Jerry.
No, I haven't. And again, and that's a great question because, you know, it would be something, again, you're in a different state of consciousness, aren't you? So if someone had a person in the home that did sleepwalk, it would be very interesting to keep a recorder going over those, consistently over those nights and possibly see if they sleepwalk, is there a voice on the recorder? Especially if there's a voice that's relating to that person walking, there's a comment that is observational to it.
There's a couple of more questions. One, I'm going to take Chuck's first because it has to do with what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Couldn't the characteristics be carried over, much like body image does visually, I guess? Things like speech patterns, accent, are tied to the consciousness that is generating it.
Yep, good question. Yeah, there is character, and I'm on one of the sections on the course, we do talk about that. What if I record a voice that does have articulation, that does have something similar to physical voice articulation? And a lot of time what I find in the genuine EVPs, some of them will have a certain point where there will be an articulated noise. Yeah, well, I shouldn't call it noise, so sound in the word. But when they move on to another word or word prior, there's something completely irregular about it. So it's just not 100% consistent with human speech, human physical speech.
And just so people are clear on this, it doesn't mean that you can't understand what they're saying.
No.
It means that words are not generated through, you know, like the breath.
Yes.
It's like
voice.
You know, a computer does not use breath to generate those sounds.
A voice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So.
And it seems to be almost like a simulation of speech.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of what I put it. One of my words that I use. It seems to be almost a simulation of speech, more so than it is hearing me speaking now, where you can hear my breath, you can hear the and even down to the articulation, the points that we've got in the course where we talk about perceptual structural observations. There's so many structural observations I've made that are really small, but they're not in line with physical speech. So you definitely do hear the words and the sometimes they're a little bit hard to hear, obviously, but there seems to be a simulation of speech. It's not actually generated by a physical mechanism.
Yeah, and so in terms of accents, I've heard EVPs with accents.
Yeah.
I mean, any language, accents, mm-hmm. they're all there.
Male, female, juvenile,
mm-hmm.
old. Yeah, all, a lot
grunts,
of those
growls.
General observations. Yes, yes. I've got one that sounds like gagging, and I have no idea what that's all about. but yeah, you know, they're there, but there's still always, for a genuine EVP, there's always something missing. There's always something not quite right.
So there's a question, Kathy. Is there a software program that shows the breakdown of voice other than Audacity that would help show it if it is living or non-living vocal cords?
In one of the chapters, we go through the software programs, and I recommend software programs that you can use. One of them is just your general program, and the other one is a phonetics program that really is very good at – you can't do any alterations to it. It's basically a phonetic program that you can put up the recording to and look at the spectral view, which is it's really a handy one, but we go quite a few of those. And what was the other things? Like speech patterns. Sorry, I'm not looking at the wrong.
Help show if it is living or non-living.
Well, yeah.
Vocal
cords can only be living. Vocal cords can only be living. And that's, you know, that is part of the mechanical structure of the physical apparatus we have. So a lot of the time, the EVPs show abnormalities because there is no vocal cords.
Okay.
That's where the abnormalities start to come in because there's no vocal cords there. So we start to see idiosyncrasies in the words.
Interesting. So Chuck follows up, I guess I'm thinking along the lines of the consciousness not realizing that it isn't breathing, so it emulates the breathing.
Ooh. Gosh, I haven't really...
Well, let's add something to that. Well, let's add, you know...
Not realizing.
Many people have probably seen the movie, what is it called, The Others? With Nicole Kidman, where she, you know, thinks that she's her place is haunted, when it turns mm-hmm. out that she's actually her and her kids are actually the spirits and the other people are the living, you know, the flesh and bloods, you know. So I kind of had a question similar to Chuck's about, you know, in their dimension, in that next chapter, wherever they are, if they are, you know, are they articulating it similarly or? Not.
Do they, yeah, do they realize in what stage of reality they're in, I guess?
Yeah.
And that's a good, and that one's probably where we put down in reactive or when I get voices that are interactive, they seem to not really be quite, they seem a lot of the time to be trying to get someone's attention.
Yeah, that brings us to a question from Rihanna. Do you think that entities know investigators are coming and go into a sort of hiding? I don't know if that's part of your, you know what I mean? Basically,
they know if we're coming or going.
Yeah. Well, coming to investigate, so they go hide when we're there.
Oh, well, that's a good question. I haven't asked them. Are
well,
they hiding?
I'd be about that then. You know, we've often speculated on that because so many times when we've gone on investigations, it's like, you know, the spirits are gone. And I've come to view it this way. I don't know if this will help you, Rihanna, but I've come to view it this way that, you know, if you view spirits just like you view people, you know, there's going to be some who they don't know you. So they're not, you know, and a lot of folks, you put them in the middle of a crowd and they just kind of keep to themselves and they're not the minglers. They're not the ones who are going to go around shaking mm-hmm. everybody's hand. You know, they're shy a little bit. So if you view them like people, that often seems to be the case. And, you know, you be a real live human being too. That's what they are, essentially. Be real and make friends and let them know that you're friendly and what to expect. I mean, we have cats, and you know, one cat doesn't mind if visitors come, but the other two go and hide, especially one of them. So, you know, everybody's different. Another question: are there any recorders out there that allow you to listen real time for responses while it records?
Not a recorder per se that I know of. There's lots of these different apparatus, ovulus and all of those around. Again, they're entertainment purposes only, so I wouldn't take them too seriously. They're just noise. That's all they're really doing. But is there a recorder? No, we haven't got any. No manufacturers developed a recorder for that purpose.
Well, there's the Spiritcom that you.
Oh, Spiritcom, yes.
I mean, it's like listening to the ABCs in real time, basically.
Yeah, I mean, there is all sorts of little apparatus that come and go. Spiritcom would be the most interesting of them all, and we do touch on that in the course in the history side of it and everything. But again, at this stage, there's quite a few actually researchers trying to construct radio-type apparatus for that real-time. But, you know, a lot of these, I know the researchers, and they're still in the process of making them, so... You never know.
that was the point of Frank's box, you know, or a ghost box, radio suite.
Yeah, real-time communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
what is real-time? You know, the problem is there's so much noise output on them. There's nothing that's a really quiet system. So, you know, we don't know how much of it. You can't. The problem is, too, when you've got so much noise, when you start looking at spectral views and that, you really can't tell anything.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, you can go ahead and have fun with it, but as a research side of it, you can't really tell what's noise, what's voice, what's... It's all just a mangled up mess. So, you know, that sort of side of it, we don't really go into, because we're really sort of into trying to get really fine points of these voices, and I can't do that once there's noise put into the recording.
And so it's probably good to make a distinction here at this point that... As with all types of research in the paranormal field, you've got your more amateurish approach and you have your more specialized professional approach, if you will, or you know, taking a real serious approach. And that's what we're talking about here with Ingrid. It's, you know, eliminating false positives, and it's eliminating if it comes close to being a false positive, you toss it out, because you're really looking for some compelling, even objective evidence that you've got something that you cannot explain with human speech.
Mm. And that's very hard to do when you add a lot of noise and filtering and changing. You've really just, as I said, you've just got a mess. And as I say, you know, rubbish in, rubbish out. You can't really get any decent research from it.
Right. And so this whole approach to EVP, being an EVP, certified EVP technician, is to learn how human speech is constructed, apply it to EVP research, be able to read spectrograms and graphs and understand what you're looking at and come away with, you know what, here's a recording that really wasn't, you know, probably could not have been made by a human being. It doesn't have any of the speech articulation created by human speech, and so here's something that we really have that's an anomaly.
And so people are aware, and also the more people that take that more serious research side, the more repeatability we might actually start to see, and more things that we'll start to see that, and that's starting to get to be exciting ground when we're actually getting repeatable evidence, which we really don't get much of at the moment.
So how many serious EVP researchers are you familiar with that are conducting research in the world?
Oh, a handful.
Yep.
That I know are doing really serious noise-independent, you know, recording. The boring stuff, yeah.
Right. Well, you know, that's the point. You know, it's always so cool to go on an investigation and try to get EVPs, and you know, there's people on the other side of the wall making out, and you don't know it, and so you think you got something. And I'm not making that up, by the way. That was real.
Wow.
And so, you know, they thought they had an EVP until one of the other members said, no, that was so and so and so and so making out on the other side of the wall, you know, making noises and stuff like that. So, you know, that just underscores the need for teams to be competent. to basically buck the trend in the ghost hunting thing and stop being a ghost hunter and become an anomalous researcher and really take this thing serious. And, you know, it's going to go against the grain for a lot of the amateur community, the ghost hunting community. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to find answers, you need to boldly go where no one has gone before, to quote Star Trek. And that means, or where few have gone before, you need to look at it, think for yourself, use critical thinking skills, make sure that you set up experiments that are documented, that make sense. I mean, one of the things, Ingrid, you talk about is using a Faraday mm-hmm. cage, right?
Yeah, that was many years ago. We were playing around with that. I haven't done that for a few years, actually, but in the course we talk about putting those sorts of controls in. So and even controls in the sense that you don't have to be, you know, spend a lot of money or any of that. You can be at home, and I mean that's the best part with this sort of EVP research. I do the whole of my research sitting at home. I don't have to go anywhere, and it's not a good decent recorder, the right software, and you're really often going in a nice quiet room. And then start asking the questions. What questions? For me, it was like, what would happen if no one was there? And that can actually then, those questions actually then can form research, which can be really valid. So, yeah, you can make very, I mean, I think on the internet there's quite a few diagrams there for very basic Faraday cages and things like that that you can start playing with.
Well, there's also the, what are those bags called that you buy for...
Oh, the blocking bags, the signal blocking bags.
Yeah.
They're off eBay. I think they're about $4 or $5. But you can put your recorder in them, and they block all external signals.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go out and have the most amazing equipment. You just got to think sort of a little bit outside the box, formulate the questions, and then decide what gear you need to bring that question into fruition into your recording environment and start running documented trials. It's as simple as that. And even though it sounds probably a little bit boring, when you do get those captures, they blow your mind.
Well, they do. And you know, before we run out of time here, you know, you had some fascinating experiences here a couple years or so ago mm-hmm. with your dad's passing that kind of rocked your world a little bit beyond the obvious, I think.
Mm. Yeah, you wanna... Yeah, that was an interesting one. And again, I mean, I'm not into the photography and that side of it and everything, but for that, he was in hospital and he was in his last few days. And, I was in the house and saw him. He was still alive. He was in an unconscious state in the hospital and saw him walk straight through the house. He just walked straight through, looked down at me and kept going. And he died the next morning.
And he was far away from you physically?
Oh, physically. Well, he was in Melbourne Hospital and we're probably 600 kilometres, 700 kilometres, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was that signal to say I'm off. I think it was that message. I was too far away to be there when he passed on. But it's interesting how even though and it was so interesting to me, and I think he knew it because he was still physically alive when that happened.
So out-of-body experience.
Doesn't consciousness expand in all directions?
There you go. Yeah. And so, you know, when you incorporate things like that, consciousness, and that's a big part of EVP research is how does it relate to consciousness? You know, the EVPs you got with your dog, you know, the dog walking in the room and consciousness, there's a consciousness coming into the room. So that's a big question for researchers too. You know, I mean, we're talking about metaphysics here. We're talking about consciousness and existence. And this is smack dab in the middle of that. You know, we want to know.
And really, yeah, and my research come from the metaphysical side, not the paranormal side.
Mm-hmm.
I'd done my doctoral degree in metaphysics when I was getting very involved with EVP because I'm interested, you know, I'm not so much interested in ghosty voices and hearing people tell me to get out and things like that, or I'm dead. You know, I think consciousness is a little bit more evolved than that.
What's the most common EVP?
Get out.
It's like a game show thing. Can you name the most common EVP?
You know, I find that a little, and a lot of, you know, when you hear a lot of radio shows, you know, so-and-so is going to come and show us your most awesome dead EVPs, you know, just like cringe. Because it's, you know, it's all about consciousness. It's all about learning more about who we are. And even if these voices are coming from me onto the recorder, that still, to me, is completely amazing that I would have a consciousness that could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So no theory is without realms, because it all, to me, it's not just about us being dead, but it's us being here and now. What do we? These things are happening while we're alive. That there's something there that we've got to learn from.
Good point. Vicki, any questions for Ingrid?
I don't know if it's a question so much as it's part of the discussion. I wonder how much of our emotions generate that other, attraction of consciousness, or if it's just simply a matter of like attracts like, consciousness attracts consciousness. But are they there even when we're not in the room?
When it's a very short one before we probably finish, but I had one where I'm laughing right at the end of recording, and I'm laughing at my dog because he was doing something really silly, like rolling on his back and begging or something, and you can hear me laughing at him, and then just about 2 seconds after that, 2 or 3 seconds, you hear a very young juvenile girl go, "That's funny."
Wow. No juvenile.
Yeah,
schools.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't have children, so and we're miles away. So it is, when you say about emotions, we were in a very happy state at that point, and it was funny that the comment was, it was a little girl's voice, and it was very high, that sort of happy child's voice, it related to exactly what we were doing at that time. I've heard one also that it's happened just outside the studio door, and it's just a young juvenile boy, and he just says, "I'm a boy." There's a lot, I think, that has to do with our emotional state at the time.
Yeah, I've often wondered that. I have, because when I do readings for people, that there's generally an emotion, obviously, and depending on, I've often wondered, is it that entity coming first, or is it the emotion of the client that generates the attraction of an entity to come? Who knows? Chicken or the egg, right? But
exactly.
I've often wondered that. What attracts it?
And it would be, these are the sort of questions that I love, because from there I can start formulating, I write those things out and start formulating questions. And so it'd be very interesting to see if you were sitting watching, if you just watched a funny movie or something, or you were in a certain mood and you could hold that mood and then go into a quiet room and record, would you record something? Because your emotions changed. They're all
good
future
question.
Ideas. Future ideas for recording trials. But it will be good down the track, hopefully. I mean, we've got other researchers I work with, and, sometimes we all run the same sort of recording trial and see if all of us come up with something, and that's interesting too. So there's lots, there's so much, it's endless, the questions.
Well,
great show.
Yeah.
Great job.
Flew by. Good.
Did.
Well, as we wrap this thing up, if our listeners are interested in learning more about the Certified EVP Technician course, just hang tough for just a little bit more. It'll be on metaphysicsinstitute.org. It will be a standalone course as well as part of the IMHS degree program. So if you are a degree program student and you want to add that as an elective, you'll be able to do that once it is up. So, and it shouldn't be too long. It's just an awesome course. We have other courses in the works. We have an animal communication healing course in the works as well. Several of our students have requested something like that, so that'll be coming out before long. And we have, of course, Dr. Vicki's Certified Holistic Tarot Card Reader course, certification course, that's unlike anything else out there. And that's at metaphysicsinstitute.org. So there's a lot of stuff happening.
Metaphysical parenting is coming.
Metaphysical parenting. There's just we're trying to get things going. We're going to actually be announcing a new site, a secondary school site for standalone certification and certificate courses. But we'll announce that coming up here, not too much before the world ends here next month. So we'll.
It's been canceled.
Oh, it's been canceled. That's right. Good deal. So anyway,
Ingrid.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was great.
Thanks so much for joining. It's always such a pleasure to have you on the show, and we appreciate all those who've taken time to listen to the live broadcast as well as the archives. Thanks to Dr. John Hightower for screening our calls tonight and helping behind the scenes, and hope everybody has a great week. We'll be back next week with another fantastic topic. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.